different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Let your heart of hearts take you down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. And let's see. There's Rufus Edmonston.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all know him. Hey, Rufus.
Good morning, everybody, and all the Weekend Gardeners and our friend Nelsa. And I was in the mountains last weekend. Had a lot of people call last week and say, what was the temperature there?
And Nelsa Cox is with us. Well, retired.
Yeah.
Esquire.
It was at least, well, I was up there opening up the Horn in the West, the outdoor drama, which everybody should go see one time or another because it's a fabulous story about the mountains in the Revolutionary War. But I called down here to ask Linda what was the temperature. She said 92. What's your temperature? I said, up here it's 82. So wow. At least 10 degrees cooler, but still, for the mountains of North Carolina, that was hot.
Yeah. I can't hear you very well this morning. I don't know why. Well, see if we can... I don't know if that is that Mike. Try the other mic, Rufus. We have.
Well, how about
that's
that?
Better. That's better. That's much better. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you look better too.
I do. Okay. It looks like kind of like a periscope. You can do this. Yeah. So.
Which is better, one or two?
It's what you do during a long air shift. You play with things. You just. Just have a good time. That's what it's all about, isn't it? No hard work in radio. It's just fun. Andrea Lane is with us. She's in the mountains. And good morning to you, Andrea. I hope it's cool up there because it ain't here.
Good morning. Well, Rufus described it exactly, but it is 67 right now.
Wow.
Now, you are in Mitchell County near Burnsville.
Yes. And
Yeah.
Between Burnsville and like Spruce Pine.
How far are you from Mount Mitchell?
We're a good 45 minutes from Mount Mitchell, I think.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and then 45 minutes up the mountain.
We're halfway between Asheville and Boone. That's okay. Where we're located.
That's a nice place to be. Did y'all pick it because of that? Pick that area because of that?
You know, we picked it partly because of the heat. We didn't want the heat.
Yeah. So you searched,
so
and
it's yeah, far, much warmer than it, you know, than we expected it would be, but yeah. It hasn't gotten above 82 at the actual temperature. You know, we have no way of knowing what the actual real feel is because we don't have people like you, Mike, reporting the news.
Oh wow,
local news.
You know, there's a guy in the mountains. He's up around Boone somewhere, and he's been around forever. I'll have to look. Ray, yeah. Ray'll tell you. He doesn't have an app or anything, but he's got a website and he is so good.
Yes.
I'm kind of a weather junkie, but I don't have the brains of a meteorologist. I mean, it's all math all the time. People don't realize that. And but I just love, it's fascinating.
It is amazing.
I got all kinds of weather apps and radar apps on my phone. I'm looking at that stuff.
Being in the plant industry, I do as well.
Of course you do.
I mean, yeah. You're watching stuff all the time.
And then other people always seem to know more than I do. I'm like, what are you looking at?
Yeah. Well, I hope you're well. We haven't talked to you in a while. What you been doing?
I know. It's been a while. Well, you know, I've been gardening.
Well, good. Good. How's the Master Gardener program going there?
It's still going. We've got a small but very dedicated team. So we're chugging along.
Yeah.
We just came off our festival month. June, we had two festivals.
Oh.
And so that kind of wipes out a small team, you know, because it's like everybody has to volunteer, you know. Nobody can.
Well,
you don't get to sit anything, a festival out.
So this is an extension service festival or what kind of festival?
The first one was an alien festival.
Alien? Wow.
Yeah.
What do y'all have?
Fine. And so our agent had the brainstorm of we should be in this festival talking about invasive species.
Ah, yeah.
And it went over really well. So we'll probably do it again next year with a different set of species.
There are plenty of those around. Rufus, have you gotten set over there? He's changed chairs to the end clap chair.
I've changed to the worst.
Now I can't pop him on the hand.
Everything's crackling. You gave me a new set of ear hearers, and they don't seem to be working
well,
anywhere.
Try that plug. Try these two different plugs. Try those and see what happens over there. But we're doing a little engineering over here. I can't be an engineer either because of all the math.
Hey, but you hit it.
All right.
Bingo.
All right. Let's put that aside. Here, let me have
put that thing aside.
Okay.
All right. Now
that was from the Acme earplug company, and we'll just put that aside. So, all right. Well, I'm glad the Master Gardeners are doing well. That's such a great thing. I hope one day if I ever retire from news end of my job, the 5-day week, I hope I can. And Melissa wants to do it too. Maybe do the Master Gardener thing, but we don't know where. Wake County, I think, has a waiting list. So we were thinking about Chatham County.
That would be cool
because of Melissa's, and mine. I've been married to a Chatham County girl for almost 50 years, and our son lives in daughter-in-law and grandchildren live there, and we have so many ties there. I thought that might be good.
Adam has a great program.
Yeah, so we may do that. And the Extension Service is up there, is right across from what used to be our land until we sold it last year.
Yeah.
So it's
a lot
of time
down the street.
That's right, about 500 acres.
Yeah,
as far as you can see. It seems like
it's a nice facility.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. They have auctions, cattle and horse auctions, all kinds of stuff there.
They have a lot of garden education. Their Master Gardeners have a lot of education at that site. And
We hope to get Matt Jones on the show. He's horticulture extension agent over there. Yeah, I told him to come. Amanda Wilkins is going to come in August. She's a new mama, and she's got such a pretty little baby. She's coming in August. And
now, is he the one talking about the Great Southeast Pollinator?
Yes, yes. Nice. Boy, she is a rock star from what the other. Of course, we found out that she is, but when I told some of the guys and girls that I was going to have her on, that they said, "Oh man, she's just outstanding."
She's
Nelson knows.
Oh yeah, yeah. She worked for us for a short stint, but she's an incredible.
She worked for Tony Avent.
Yep,
she's got all kinds of experience.
Very, very plant knowledgeable. Yeah. And very valuable to our area.
Absolutely. So, and I'm sure a great mama. So she's going to be with us, and hope to get Matt Jones on at the same time if he has time. It's folks work hard, and so they like having a little time off. We all do.
Yeah, it is a Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, well, what's a Saturday? Saturday is the weekend gardener, and that's important. It's it's a big deal in my life. Even though it's prevented me from seeing baseball games and stuff like that, and my kids and swimming meets and all that, it was worth the sacrifice, I think, to do this show. I'm very thankful that John Harris started it almost 80 years ago.
Pretty cool.
So Steve is in Garner, and Steve, I bet you have a daylily report, among other things.
Yeah, we're down to 133 now.
Okay. What was the top? 300 and some?
379.
379.
We still have a lot of color. It's just that apparently the deer are getting really desperate.
Yeah, well, it's so dry.
It's so dry.
Garden must be a seasoning.
Yeah.
They're eating it despite the fact that I've sprayed really heavy. They're eating gladiolus too. So I mean, Mary says they must be really desperate.
Oh, that's one of my that may be my favorite summer flower.
Gosh, those deer have broken my mama's heart. They gobbled up a lot of her daylilies. They've just loaded.
Oh no, she has a lot of daylilies.
Oh yeah,
she?
She is a some kind of collector, I guess.
And oh my gosh!
Got back into it,
Wonderful.
Last year, I took her to a daylily farm for one of our trips up in Tennessee, and my best friend, her brother, lives in Gastonia. He's an avid Hemericallis daylily guy, So they exchange back and forth. So yeah. Just giving me more to mow around.
Circuitous routes. You have to map it out, don't you?
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
Well, we're talking about deer's favorite plants. I think I told you last week I'd had this little incident of leaving the gate open when I brought you
I know. I got a lot of comment. I put that sweet little fawn that was nestled in there, newborn fawn, on Facebook.
And, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Mike and Phil and I pulled in about 1 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, the people are coming to check the furnace 1 hour later, so leave the gate open. And Sunday morning I went out to water, and here was this little brown, beautiful thing. I thought, oh, my God, what is that? It was a little fawn. So Mama had come in, and within an hour had the fawn left and nibbled off hydrangea tops.
No.
She loved hydrangeas. And so the only thing to do, though, was keep the gate open once I discovered what it was.
Right.
Because Mama's going to come back.
Right.
And then I had these nightmares of this horde of deer coming in and decimating the Edmiston place.
Well.
But one of my friends at the Wildlife Commission said, look, that deer will keep the others out of there because she doesn't want them messing with her fawn right now.
Right.
And lo and behold, with that gate being open all that time, that was on Sunday that I discovered the fawn. By Sunday afternoon at some time, she came and got her baby and had kept out the other deer. But as she left, or before, when she came in, she topped off about 20 hydrangea blooms. Oh,
and
they
gotta
eat and go, right?
That's right.
Eat and go.
The baby was born in hellebores.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how she could help not be there.
She knew nothing would bother them.
Just let you guys know, our garden is still open, and we are still listed on the Raleigh Daylily Club website as just one more garden. You can go down to the tab that says Display Gardens, and I'm listed there. Our phone number and address there, and you're still welcome to come. The 133 that are blooming are gorgeous. So it's just that we had one that is called Fun Fling.
Uh-huh.
We've been waiting for that thing to bloom. It's a late bloomer. It was just covered in buds day before yesterday. Got up yesterday morning. That deer ate every bud on that.
Oh,
no.
And we got one bloom out of it, and it is a beautiful bloom, but they just ate it. They finished it off. So.
Wow.
But we're still open, and we're not going anywhere today, so. If anybody wants to come visit, we're open for business.
Well, Steve, most of my daylilies are just now blooming, so I must have some late bloomers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the one of them is that beautiful thing my mother gave me years ago that you guys gave me a first prize for.
It really is pretty. I saw that. I ran across that photo that I took.
It's a floral plant, right? It's that big orange double.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and Rufus, part of why yours are late is you're kind of in a very protected, sheltered microclimate. And, some shade.
Is.
So, you're...
It's very shady.
You're warming up.
Yeah. I'm a late bloomer in many things.
There you go. You're a late bloomer.
Me too. Me too. I'm just catching on.
There's a way to tell if the plant is shade tolerant. If it is, it'll have straight scapes. If it's not, the scapes will be bending towards the sun.
Okay, these are straight scapes.
A plant that has scapes that are bending towards the sun, you can move that out to a more sunny location and replace it with something that tolerates the shade better.
Good advice. Good advice. I'm leaving mine right where they are.
Do tolerate shade, and that's how you can tell. If the scape is bending towards the sun.
Good advice. They stay right where they are.
All right. I'm moving daylilies today. I got to do something.
All right. Well, take it easy, Steve.
And I'm irrigating, so.
Did you say irrigating or irritating?
You'll see my irrigation system.
I don't know. All irritated about something. It's too hot.
Irrigation, not irritation.
Okay.
Well, don't be ashamed.
Just those headphones.
Yeah. 10-4. At ease.
It must be these headphones I've got here.
Take it easy, Steve.
All right, love you guys.
You take care. All right. 919-860-9783. Very dry in the mountains, Andrea?
Very dry.
Yeah.
We did have 0.3 inches of rain about 2 days ago.
Wow.
So that helped a lot. It was a nice rain, you know, gentle, you know, steady for a long time. But that's been it. So yeah, you crunch the grass and people are making jokes about Dust Bowl. It's dry.
That amount of rain down here would be a downpour.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been dodging rain the last couple of days.
That's good.
It was kind of crowded, cloudy this morning to the east, but I don't.
Yeah, down towards kind of Apex, yeah. Holly Springs. It sky was very ominous. It looked like it was gonna.
And same here yesterday, but then no rain.
Yeah, then there's nothing on the radar. It's all literally out in the ocean. Although Charleston area. Between Georgetown and Charleston's getting some rain right now, but every place else is there's nothing.
Well, Mike, you're a frustrated climatologist. Make something happen.
No, I'm just frustrated, actually.
You're irritated.
Yeah, I'm just irritated. Yeah, yeah, too hot.
Not irrigated.
Not irrigated. No. Nobody shot me with a water gun.
Well, that is a medical term too.
Yeah, it is.
That's true.
Well, I've got a little automated irrigation system set up in some of my tomatoes, and so, you know, some of the blueberry plants get a little bit of that water, some of the blackberries get a little of that water, and you know, it's been a great year for both, and they're continuing, but, you know, lots of them are just dried up. Watermelon, they're just dried up. Where
I don't
just
ever
can't
water
get to the
anything
water.
Unless I've just planted something in the spring.
Right. Well, it is dry. I mean, we had rain one day in June, and then it was dry the latter part of May. But, you know, the fruits have set, been pretty good. There's literally hundreds of tomatoes. They're just not huge. But what's interesting is the area that I can irrigate is kind of funny. Danged if you do, danged if you don't. Mm. So that particular area that is getting water, I'm seeing more blossom end rot. So I'm like, all right, they're small
My
on
goodness.
One end and drying up, and then they're. But it's kind of funny. So
well, that's why. I mean, they're hard to grow. Tomatoes are tough to grow.
I needed to double down on some calcium nitrate, but overall, I'm pretty pleased though.
Yeah,
especially with the
Rufus is. Two or three. Whenever we went down to Harnett County, when we got home at 1 o'clock, the reason we got home at 1 o'clock that day was because we stopped at the bar in Kalibbutt Springs, and not really.
There is no bar in Kalibbutt Springs.
Well, we thought there was. Oh well.
At least you didn't say Chalibbutt.
Well, that was closed. That bar was closed. Yeah. So
I have a report for Gerald Adams. Tomato he named Rufus produced a good tennis-sized ball, yellowish fruit, and then it took the blight and took a flight. So I had to take it and walk down to the...
Why'd they look so good?
Yeah. So, Gerald, this one took the blight, whether it was Granville or Norfolk in Virginia, I don't know.
Is that what your mama used to say, took the blight?
Yeah, took the blight.
Wow. Ought to be some syrup for that.
The one that I had was good. It was the one that changes colors each year. I remember about a couple of years ago, I gave you one, Mike, and you said it was a striped.
It was striped.
Yeah, this is solid yellow now. Mm-hmm. So
well, it's just like the real Rufus Edmonds. It's ever evolving.
Yeah.
From Attorney General to Secretary of State to
a yellow tomato
to weekend gardener hosts. So, yeah. He evolves.
And the latest thing you said was the most fun, the weekend gardener.
Yeah. Well, it is fun to me. Is it fun to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrea, you don't mind it, do you?
Not at all.
Okay. I mean, what the heck? 919-860-9783. Richard, you hang on. We'll take you after we check some news, but we shall return here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 827. The Embers Club at Atlantic Beach, Dawson and Davy Street in downtown Raleigh. You know, those were the days.
Well, Brother Craig, by the way, sent me a cantaloupe, but not the one from the famous place we're talking about. But anyway, Craig, thank you by way of Big John sending the cantaloupe.
I don't know if they're ready yet.
Ridgeway, right?
Ridgeway up near Littleton.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if they're ready yet.
Yeah.
That may be the deal.
I'm ready for
when
them.
Their festival is.
I'm ready for them.
I think everything I'm planted is just as big as a tennis ball. My cantaloupe, watermelon, they're just pitiful.
Well, they're you know, mostly water.
I did go to the farmer's market earlier this week and picked up some really sweet cantaloupe. I really enjoyed it. I carried one to my mom's, and then I snacked on one all week, and it's gone.
Yeah, I was just looking here. July 13th is the Cantaloupe Festival in Ridgeway.
Okay.
That's up on 85.
I think that's Rufus's birthday.
One
12th.
More.
The 12th.
Yeah.
The 12th is the old boy, 83.
The old boy. All right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, they got a Cantaloupe 5K race.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
That'd
I don't know,
fun.
Not in this heat.
Ooh, the toughest race I ever did was over at the Dorothea Dix complex. It was maybe 3 or 4 summers ago. It was called the Margaritaville Run.
Oh, go up
God.
And down. I
yes.
mean, go up and down hills. Oh
it was
my
a,
gosh!
I don't think I was redder than a tomato. I don't think I'd ever been so hot. I was like, yep, check that off my bucket list. I'm done.
I was more of a sprinter. I just it never got. I just always felt like. Jogging at my head was just shaking apart.
Well, you get
maybe
some
I have a loose
brain.
Loose brain. I know a lot of broadcasters that end up with loose brains, but I had one from the start.
Well, they got a cure for that. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Retirement.
Oh, well. Did you forget Richard?
No, he's right here.
Oh, he's still with
Richard,
us.
You
he
still
didn't
there?
Pass away.
No, I'm. We had to do something before we got to Richard here. We had to do some things. And hear
okay.
Jay and the Techniques for one thing. Richard, how you doing?
Well, it was time for the annual Mater Sandwich and Mayo competition. So
is that a festival too? Is there a tomato festival in North Carolina?
Probably.
Yeah, well, it can be if you want it to be, but. Team Dukes set up across from Team Hellman's, and Team Hellman's promptly announced, "Put up your Dukes! Put up your Dukes!"
Wow, that was real animated.
Yeah, that's good.
And then Team Dukes replied, "Okay, my overconfident competitor, you may or may not win this competition."
Sounds like you're getting ready to quote Shakespeare or something. To be or not to be.
Well, I'm a big Rumpole the Bailey fan, so.
Yeah. So, what's going on today in your world?
I had purchased some nasturtiums from the allium vendors at the farmer's market, and I'm really pleased with them. And I had read where. You could actually eat the flowers. So I tried one. It'd be a perfect match in an Asian salad.
Mm.
They're kind of gingery in flavor, but they're really good. I'm going to try that again. And thanks for your recommendation on patience about the perennial hibiscus. It's now exploding in blooms. and I had one tomato casualty. That was the Mark Twain. It just was the weakest as far as disease goes. I got about maybe three or four nice large tomatoes out of it, and then it was just overtaken by the blight.
Oh, boy. It took flight with the blight.
Yep. It took flight with the blight. And it tasted really good. So I've replaced it with some better boys, and they'll come in for the late season.
There is a tomato festival in Rowan County.
I was looking. There's
a Woodleaf or Cleveland community.
Also a Tomato Fest and Bloody Mary competition in Murphy, North Carolina.
Oh, here I go to the mountains.
Boy, that is a long drive.
That's a long drive even from me.
Yeah, I was about to say, it really is.
In Carroll County, where's Carroll County?
Carroll County is Virginia.
Oh, is that Virginia? Okay. Yeah.
There's a nice country song named for that, the Carroll County Tragedy.
I'd rather go to the La Tomatina, the Spanish tomato festival, where they throw tomatoes. Get out all of your... So that's coming up August 28th.
Yeah.
All that it takes to grow a tomato, you're just going to lob it at...
What they do.
That's a good point, Andrea.
That's what they do.
Mike, here's one for you and Melissa. It's the 5th Annual Topsoil Tomato Dinner. July 31st.
That must be new. I've never heard of that. Fifth annual. I've never heard of it. I don't go down there that much anyway.
It's too hot to go down there that time of year anyway.
Yeah.
August.
That's why they have to have a festival.
I spent a week in June, and that's good for me. I don't want to just sit in the house because it gets hot. 919-860-9783. Richard, any more jokes or any more gardening thoughts?
Well, not presently, but just thanks for all your efforts. And
there's no effort. There's very little effort. There used to be. I used to put. I used to work hard. I don't really have to anymore because, you know, it's kind of. Lifestyle, it's part of me, so I don't have to put out an effort.
Richard, you mentioned Mark Twain. One time he said something that's very applicable to everyday life. He said, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody else feels for you that way.
That's right.
Yep.
Nobody cares. Yeah,
he was right about that.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry about finding a bar with Rufus. He is the bar.
He is the bard.
The bar.
He is the bar, yeah, B-E-A-R, yes.
The bar, right?
Well,
the bar association.
Bar has a lot of legal implications. Death crossing the bar. In the bar, you have to appear before the bar. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't leave the bar when they should.
In Clement Springs.
And then Daniel Boone killed a bar.
Yeah. So there are all kinds of...
With his bare hands.
in a version of a low form of life, the barfly.
Yeah.
Well, I know some low form of life.
Now, I remember.
Many of them are in this business.
I remember barflies from genetics. It's true.
You took genetics?
I did. Took it twice.
Why did you take it twice?
Because I made a D the first time, so I took it again, and I made another D. No, I made a C. Barflies.
Well, it was what department was that in?
It was at NC State in one of the what was it? What was that building? Perpendicular to Kilgore.
Oh.
At that time, it was a new building.
Kilroy. That's what that was.
Kilroy.
It was one of the high rises over there,
mm-mm,
like Cox or.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. It was in between Cox and Kilgore, yeah.
All right, I don't know.
They're like botany. It was in their botany department.
Yeah, and the botany used to be in an old building, so I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure, but yeah, biology and all of that stuff. I guess mm-hmm. biology and genetics mm-hmm. would be.
Yeah, this was like a 400 level genetics. It was like my.
Why did you do that?
I just, you know, plants, there's a lot of genetics.
Did you take botany?
I did.
There was a professor over there when I was there, Dr. Van Dyke. Mm-hmm. He taught botany, the botany that everybody could take, you know, huge classroom. But he would take your photograph, and I swear, 2 years after taking that course, I passed him, and he said, "Hello, Mike."
Wow.
Oh, wish I'd had that all
have you
my
bought
career.
Have you bought any plants lately?
My head was like an owl. It was. It turned around. I mean, it just kept turning around, looking at him like, "What? Ooh. What did you say?" So yeah, there was some smart people over there.
Botany. Is Richard still on the phone?
It's still here.
I said, "Have you bought any plants lately?"
Botanied?
Not lately.
Very good.
The two better boys trying to keep everything alive right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully those will be the late crop of tomatoes. And it's interesting with the basil. I had some spare basil plants, so I figured I'd plant them next to the roses, which I really loaded up the sulfur on for the pest control.
Are you sending Morse code, or are you typing something?
Oh no, that was just a pen.
Oh, okay, I didn't know you were.
He's flicking his beak.
Yeah.
So the it was interesting that with the sulfur-rich soil and next to the roses, the flavor changed to more like Thai basil. Mm. And these were the Italian large leaf basil plants. So the other ones that I had grown in a container tasted different. And the other thing that I tried the other day, I remember I was in an Indian restaurant and saw basil seeds as one of the ingredients. And a couple of years ago, one of our neighbors returned from Turkey with oregano buds. And so the oregano buds that we have here, I tried some fresh with some fresh basil buds on a fresh tomato. And that was really, really good, intense.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, my basil, gosh, I'm having to kind of deadhead it like every week, mm-hmm. just bolt, just to get it shrub size.
Well, one of the funniest things I've heard, the pronunciation of basil, was from the BBC series Fawlty Towers. He had a pet of not Fawlty, but the waiter had a pet gerbil named Basil, and then he overheard the chef saying, "I'm going to put some basil in the ratatouille," and the waiter goes, "Oh no, they're going to put basil in the red."
Guess you had to be there.
Yeah. Well, we had a boy at home. This is a true story, named Basil Smith. That's what they said at home. And he was a pretend leader of the Three Forks Baptist Church choir. And somebody afterwards said that Basil Smith doesn't do much of a job. And old boy said, "His name is Basil, and he's all we've got."
Now, is it Basel or Basel, Switzerland?
I don't know.
I've been there, but I've driven in there, into there, just off the Autobahn.
I have not been to Switzerland. That is on my list.
Yeah. It was hot there, too, 1988.
Wow.
Yeah, there was no air conditioning anywhere.
Wow.
finally had a cold front come through, but it was a hot place.
Well, I think Mike mentioned he's going to go to Norway and Iceland.
We're going to go. Actually, it's Denmark, and Norway next.
Oh, okay.
Next, in a year, over a year, August of next year when we hope to go.
If you get to Norway, be sure to go up to and look at some of the tundra. And I was in Bergen, and they have a little park
That's where the trip ends, is in Bergen.
Yep. When I was there, it was so cold you didn't need ice in the fish market.
Wow.
Outdoor fish market.
Bill Leslie just got back from there at some point, within the last few weeks, because he's been putting some great photos on Facebook. And just a beautiful country. I'm looking forward to it.
But what's really unique about the tundra is when you look over the tundra and try to estimate distances, it's very difficult to because there aren't any trees or anything.
Yeah, yeah, and all of that white.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You want to walk someplace and say, well, that'll just take a few minutes to get there. Next thing you know, an hour later, you're still walking.
Yeah, right. Well, Richard, you take care.
All right. Y'all have a great one.
Yes, sir. You too, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Stephanie writes to me, let's see here, super petunias and salvia, et cetera, looking leggy, few blooms. Is it okay to trim them back in this heated drought?
Absolutely. That'll help them. Give them a little bit of fertilizer.
They won't have to put out as much. What'd you say, Andrea?
And then water them.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Watered.
A little 20-20-20 little liquid fertilizer would help, too.
Yeah. And we don't talk about it. Usually talk about a lot of fertilizer this time when it's dry.
But, you know, our annuals, they're pretty heavy feeders. They can be. So keeping that fertility up would be helpful. And plus, you know, just with the drought, you know, just, you know, flushing it with water so you don't build up soluble salts, but definitely just some, 20-20-20 would be great, soluble.
Okay. Cut them back and a little liquid fertilizer and water them.
Mm-hmm.
Make them happy. So make them stand out and survive, because that's what a lot of things are doing right now. They're just kind of surviving.
Hanging on.
Yeah. Have you seen any well-established, mature, long-standing plants that are suffering?
Well, I mean,
except leaves on trees. You know.
Sure. I mean, I have just one of the most gorgeous blue mop head hydrangeas. I would say it's probably been in the ground 25, 30 years. And, you know, I have in the past many times on the show said that I use hydrangeas as indicator plants, especially for young, newly planted plants. I mean, you come home, afternoon, and the leaves are wilted, and it's kind of a little protective system. So you don't panic and don't water, and then you look the next morning, and they're usually hydrated back, and so you're good because, you don't want to overwater. You want to avoid root rot, especially, a young, small root pocket. But so this plant, again, has been in the ground at least 30 years. It droops morning, day, and night. So I know it's thirsty, but, I'm not worried that it's going to die. I just feel bad, but, it's like you were saying a while ago, Mike, you just don't get water at my house.
Yeah.
It's different out in, my vegetable world at the farm. You mentioned rain barrels earlier when we were coming in the studio, and I've pretty much drained a 55-gallon, keeping my lime alive that I have in a 7-gallon.
Yeah, those PG hydrangeas that you got sitting mm-hmm. out in the sun now that usually love the sun.
Yeah.
They're probably some of them are probably
they're hanging in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've been established, more than 2 to 3 years. I mean, I'm seeing them as I drive by. I mean, they're, I won't say they're hurting, but you certainly can see that they're thirsty. I had a friend that posted a picture of a purple calycanthus yesterday, purple leafed calycanthus, and it was pretty wilty. It was pretty ratty, and it looked like it was a pretty good sized plant. So, there's a lot of plants that are in protective mode and just staying drooped.
Something that you told me that I asked you a question. I don't do it often.
Mm-hmm.
It probably feels often to you, but I'll send you a photo or
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is this? Or
yeah.
Ask you a question. And I was talking, I don't know when it was in the last few years, but about her hydrangea that was really drooping.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, it's not necessarily the water, it's the heat that's
right.
making it. And it's something I'd never thought about or heard of.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It could be the heat, sun, just in protective mode. Yep.
Well, the lime leaf hydrangea that you gave me, Mike,
Limelight,
years ago, is drooping rather severely, but it's not where I can get to water unless I carry a bunch of water. And I've learned to live with it. It scares you.
Yeah.
I learned to live with it. Andre, I wanted to ask you if in your neighborhood you see the dahlias that when I grew up in Boone, my mother would grow dahlias, and they would grow 6 feet tall and had to stake them. And I've never seen dahlias grow anywhere else that I've ever visited like they will grow in the mountains.
Yeah, well, one of my fellow master gardeners is a native of this county, and her specialty is growing dahlias. So hers are exactly the way you described. And she has she's been mentoring another one of our master gardeners who is growing dahlias in pots. And the newer dahlia grower happens to live close by me. In fact, I watered her garden last week when they were on vacation. And even in the pots, they're doing quite well.
Never done that. Never.
Yeah, and very they're big pots, but not huge. And she has a shady, woodland area. They're spectacular looking when they bloom. They are just gorgeous.
Well, that's another thought too, Nelson, Andre. I have a lot of pots around the house that both of you have seen. And the smaller the pot, the more you're going to have to water. So if you have a chance to put something in a little bigger pot, it's not going to dry out as quickly. And I will change some pots this fall, knowing that we're in a world now where there's just a lot of drought coming along.
Yeah.
Not getting any argument about climate change, this or that, but I know what I know.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue about anything on this show.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't want any arguing.
Well, I want to take this opportunity. We were talking about hydrangeas and, of course, how dry it's been and how hot it's been. I do feel like we've had not quite the heavy humidity that I'm sure we'll get into soon. Maybe a couple days of it, but at any rate, talking about hydrangeas, the Garden Hut, Logan's Garden Hut, they are having their first annual hydrangea fest. And, we're talking about hydrangeas and how they are. Many of them are flowering now, blooming now. Taking advantage of, 30, 50% off hydrangeas and then considering the heat and having to water. If you have a shady spot and like I say, you have the ability to water almost on a daily or every other day basis, I mean, it's a value. Mom and I talked about it. I'm going to swing by and get her a couple more. But, it's a little work. It's not something where you want to buy one and go on vacation 2 weeks. But unless you have somebody to water like Andrea, like you did for your friend. But it's a great deal. You can pick up some unique hydrangeas. And I think that's been one of my favorites lately. But I know that this sale started yesterday and I believe goes through today. I'm not sure what if it goes through part of July, but it's a good opportunity if you're in need of hydrangeas, and the price on them has gotten expensive due to some of the proven winners and Southern living styles and things like that. So it's just a great opportunity to take advantage of a good sale. And I believe their downtown location is also having a hydrangea festival, but just want to throw that out there. I think they're open till 5 today.
Very good. Yeah, and, it's you find something you really enjoy,
mm-hmm.
put it in the right place, and it's a good incentive to go out and water it and
absolutely
and watch it. I planted a hydrangea, really pretty hydrangea. It's not a PG, it's not a sun-loving mm-hmm. hydrangea, and I thought I had put it where it was kind of shaded, mm-hmm. but it is not.
Rough
and road. It is really suffering, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How long has it been in the ground?
A few weeks.
Okay. Well, no.
Ma'am, I'm sorry?
Do they transplant well, hydrangeas?
If it's only been in the ground a few weeks, I'd probably let it be where it is and wait till fall.
Okay. Yeah,
I probably wouldn't advise uprooting it now, but yeah. Because it probably has branched out, and you don't want to cut those little fine roots
Now. I mean, the only thing that's really suffering, the main thing that's suffering are the blooms.
Yeah.
So
It's just like the daylilies. You know, as Steve was saying and I was saying about my mom's, I mean, the deer ate the prettiest part we wait for, but, you know, the plant's still good. So and even if you have to snip those blooms off, the plant's still good.
Pruning,
exactly.
Fine,
yeah.
Yeah, well, we're hopeful that the roots are still doing their thing, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's a beautiful native hydrangea that Andrea sent me here. Yeah, we'll talk more about that and other things coming up after the news here on WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener.